water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? You heard those words, didn't you? Spoken in that reading. Here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Now, these words were spoken some 2,000 years ago by a royal official from what was then Ethiopia. And in one sense, they're words that have been spoken tonight by the four who have been baptized. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? It's clearly a rhetorical question. The implied answer is, well, nothing. And it's a question that's asked from a place of joyful confidence. The question is, where does such joyful confidence come from? How can the man from Ethiopia, how can the four people baptized tonight ask that question, knowing so confidently that the answer will be nothing? Nothing stands in the way of my being baptized. And I think that the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, an official in the queen's employ from Ethiopia, that story can help us answer that question. And what we learn as we read through this story is that the confidence to say that there is nothing standing in the way of him being baptized, that the confidence to say that comes from another source of confidence, from the confidence in this truth, that because of Jesus, there is no longer anything which stands in the way of this person having a relationship with God, that there is nothing which can stand between him and God. You see, in this story, we meet a man who would have been aware of at least three things which in one way or another stood in between him and God, which prevented him from being able to relate to God in some way. Three barriers which prevented him from having a true and lasting relationship with God. And the big truth we discover as we see the interaction here between the eunuch and Philip unfold is that God is all about breaking down the barriers that exist between us and him. That's kind of the big idea of what we're talking about tonight, that God is all about breaking down the barriers that exist between us and him. You see, true, lasting, life-changing, eternity-altering, personal relationship with God is available to each one of us, all because of Jesus. And this is wonderful news. And the eunuch came to understand this, and he went away, as you recall in the reading, what? Rejoicing. This is good news. And those who have been baptized tonight have come to understand that Jesus, the message of Jesus is for them also, that they can have a personal relationship with God through Christ. And so we rejoice with them. This is a wonderful occasion. God has done everything necessary so that nothing might prevent them from having an eternal, life-changing relationship with God. Sean, Tony, Bethany, Jesse, that is true of you. God has done everything necessary. You can have absolute confidence of that. And this is why all Christians, not least those who have been baptized here tonight, but all Christians can say with confidence, nothing should prevent me from being baptized because nothing prevents me from having a relationship with God. What I want to do this evening is look at these three barriers, which I think the eunuch would have been very aware of, and see what God did to break those barriers down. And as we look at those, we're going to be reminded that the good news, that which was good news for the eunuch is good news for us also, if we choose to accept it. And so three barriers that God breaks down. First thing that God does is he breaks down the barrier of the eunuch's lack of understanding. The eunuch would have been very aware that when it came to having a relationship with God, his problem in part was lack of understanding. He needed God to do something to overcome his lack of understanding, to help him understand what he was reading. Here is a guy sitting in his chariot, heading home from Jerusalem, heading towards Gaza, and he can't understand what he's reading. Let's have a look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So far we have two things we need to say. First of all, this is clearly a story about God, most of all. God is the one doing all the stuff. He's just sending Philip and he's telling him what to say and telling him what to do. God's initiative is so apparent in this story. But the other thing we need to note is who this eunuch was. He was a very important guy. Important, a financial official in his homeland. Definitely a seeker, a spiritually sensitive person, someone who understood a lot about the Jewish faith. And as was the custom, he was probably reading aloud in his chariot. And then we see the problem, verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the problem. He's reading from Isaiah the prophet, but he can't work out what's being said. And then God's solution we see in verse 35. Philip begins with the very passage of Scripture that he is reading and explains to him the good news about Jesus. What's happening here is a little bit like one of those blindfold games. You know when you have a box of items and you blindfold somebody and they have to pick up an item out of the box and tell you what it is. And it's quite hard to do, isn't it? If you can't see, then you rely only on what you can touch. You don't really know. But when the blindfold comes off, your eyes are open, suddenly what you are touching makes sense. Of course it was that. Of course it was that. It felt like that, but I just couldn't see it in my mind. But when the blindfold comes off, it makes sense. That's what's happening for the eunuch here. His eyes are being opened on this occasion. Reality is suddenly going to make sense to him. And as Philip explains the good news of Jesus to him, the eunuch comes to see and to understand that Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of all the promises that God has made. His eyes are being opened to the fact that Jesus is the one who shows us what God is like, who God is, and what God is doing in the world. Jesus himself called himself the light of the world. He came into human history to reveal, to bring into perspective all of history, to show us God, to help us make sense of life. And this eunuch needed his eyes opened. He needed God to break down the barrier that existed, that his eyes were blind. He couldn't understand. And as Philip explains the scriptures to him, that's what happens. The blindfold comes off. He finally understands. He sees Jesus and it all makes sense. And here we have to recognize, friends, that the scriptures teach us that all of us are spiritually blind. And all of us need God to come and cure our spiritual blindness. We all need to have our eyes open to who Jesus is and what Jesus tells us about who God is and what God is on about in this world, because when we look at him, that's what we'll see. We are spiritually blind and we must have our eyes open, and the way to have our eyes open is to look at Jesus, to see him for who he really is. And this is something that we have to do with humility. I wonder if you can just put yourself back in the situation there in this story and think about what would have happened if the eunuch had said, "No, mate, I'm right. I'm right." And Philip came to him and said, "Do you understand?" And I wonder if in Australia maybe what we would tend to do is go, "Yeah, I've got it, mate. It's very clear to me." But it requires humility to ask somebody to explain to you the Christian gospel. One of the best questions you could ever ask of a Christian is, "Can you explain the good news of Jesus to me?" Yes, please, I would love to do that. The eunuch invites Philip into his chariot. In those hours that follow, he has the joy of coming to see who Jesus really is and what it means for him, as we'll see. And I hope you can see from the testimonies tonight, which have been wonderful, and I really want to encourage you guys for putting all that effort into writing out your story so clearly. It's been so good to hear them. But as you hear those testimonies, I hope you can see that the process of those eyes being opened is different in different situations, isn't it? Some people have had their eyes open to the good news of Jesus very slowly. They've grown up in homes where the good news is taught. And then maybe there's been a few experiences along the way where that God's really opened up those eyes, I guess gradually, but in different times. Kind of more the picture is coming into focus slowly. We praise God that it has. And yet other people have had a much more sudden experience. And just like that, it all makes sense. There's been a lifetime of searching, and suddenly Jesus is clearly seen. God, in his mercy, opens eyes. He gives understanding. And now we see Jesus for who he really is. We see Jesus for what he has done for us. And we celebrate because there is now a relationship with God. So we praise God. Isn't God a good God that he would open eyes to see who Jesus is and how Jesus is the answer to all that we are looking for and longing for in life? And so the first barrier that needs to be overcome is this lack of understanding. I just don't know. My eyes are blind. I cannot see it. And God sends Philip, his servant, along. And through the words that Philip speaks and in the power that God brings into that situation, he opens the eyes of this man. Secondly, we see the barrier of his sinfulness. The eunuch would have been very aware that when it comes to having a relationship with God, the problem that he had was his own sin. That his sin had come between him and God. This man was a foreigner, an African, and there's no doubt that he feared God, the God of the Jews. He was devout. And he had been to Jerusalem to worship. Now, what was he doing in Jerusalem? What's in Jerusalem? Well, there's the temple. And what happens at the temple? Well, that's the place where the sacrifices for sin would be made. And so this guy knew at least something of the fact that sin was a barrier between him and God. But God shows him through Philip that he has done everything necessary to remove that barrier as well. And so we read in verse 32, this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. If the eunuch was aware of his sinfulness, and I think he was, then there could not, I don't think there's a better passage for him to be reading than that passage. What is he reading? Well, it's Isaiah. It's from Isaiah chapter 53. And in Isaiah 53, that we get painted for us a picture of a faithful servant of God who would die a horribly unjust death, like a sheep to the slaughter. Why? Why did this person who was spoken about in Isaiah 53, why would they have to die this death? Well, he's reading Isaiah 53. What we have is verses 7 and 8. And if he just puts his eyes a little bit further up the page to the verses he's just read, he'll find his answer. So Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6, the verses immediately before what he's quoted as reading there. It says this, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." What are these verses saying? Very well-known verses. What God is saying here, what he's doing here, is he's pointing forward to a person who would suffer, someone who would bear the punishment for the sin of all human beings, and that through his sufferings, human beings would be able to find peace. Human beings would find healing. In other words, this person would be punished for our wrongdoing so that we might be forgiven once and for all. And that's incredibly good news. And this is the question it leaves us with is, who is this person? And Philip gives us the answer. Beginning with this very passage of scripture, he tells this man the good news about Jesus. Jesus is the one who fulfills everything that Isaiah 53 promises. And friends, the eunuch's problem, the sin problem that he had, the fact that there was a barrier between God and him, is our problem too. We're all sinners. We're all people who have rebelled against God by doing things our way rather than His way. We've all turned our back on Him, ignoring His rule, asserting our right to rule ourselves. We are all rule breakers. We are all rule makers. And the thing is that no amount of ritual or effort, no amount of trips to Jerusalem to kind of deal with the sin problem can actually fix it. None of that stuff can fix the fact that we all deserve to be punished for our rebellion against God. This is hard news, but it's true. We need a better solution. And it's a solution that only God can offer. That's what He's done for us in Jesus. If we were to go through the New Testament, we'd see time and time again that this is what Jesus has done for us. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament speaks of Christ as a once for all time sacrifice for sins. It talks about how the sacrificial system with which the Ethiopian man would have been very familiar was ultimately ineffective for dealing with sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot remove sin, it says. And yet Jesus offers us forgiveness, lasting forgiveness. His sacrifice endures. And once sins have been forgiven because someone has trusted in Jesus, it says in Hebrews 10:18, there is no sacrifice needed anymore. Forgiveness has been given. And so the truth is, as hard as it is to hear, our sinfulness stands between us and God. And the good news is that Jesus came to die for our sins once and for all so that we might be forgiven and brought back into that relationship with God. Every person who's been baptized tonight has realized this. You've heard all their testimonies. Every single one of them has said something about what Jesus has done for them, that He died, that the cross was necessary, that my sin has been dealt with by Jesus. The tank says, my old life is gone. I've died to the new life. And because Christ died for me, I can have new life. Forgiveness of sins, which leads to new life. The washing of water. The sin has been washed away. We have new life through Christ. And I wonder, as I say this truth, that we're all sinners who deserve the judgment of God, how do you feel? How can you respond? How do you respond to that? I think there's three ways to respond. Either you can say, I'm actually not that bad, and you can reject what's being said to you now and reject the idea that you're a sinner who deserves judgment. Or you could go the other way and say, I'm just not good enough for God, and I don't care what this guy is saying right now. I'm such a bad person, not even God could forgive me. You kind of think your relationship with God depends upon you and give up. And again, I would say that's the wrong response to what's being said here. But a third way you could respond is to say, yep, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. And friends, I want to encourage you tonight, if that is the response you have to what is being said here, that we are sinners who deserve the judgment of God, and you're willing to say, yeah, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus, then that response is the response that brings life. You see, the good news of Jesus is that the punishment we deserve for our sins has been borne by Him. He suffered for us. He died on a Roman cross. He endured the wrath of God, which we deserve to face. And God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to do this for us. So that having had our sins paid for, we might experience forgiveness and be brought back into relationship with God, that barrier would be removed. And so, just as the Ethiopian man understood that his sin stood between him and God, that there needed to be, that God needed to act to remove that barrier, so too do we. But then thirdly and finally, the last thing that is standing between God and this man is his imperfect body. This man was a foreigner. He had different colored skin, but none of that really mattered as much as the fact that he was a eunuch. And it meant that he could never become a full Jewish convert. If you went to Deuteronomy chapter 23, where God speaks in His law to His people, it makes it clear that someone who has been emasculated like him cannot be one of the people of God, cannot join the assembly of God's people. There was scope for them to do some religious stuff, but they may not enter the assembly of the Lord. They could never be fully a part of God's people. And so his problem was that he could only ever be a religious fringe dweller, kind of hang out on the outside. He could never fully participate in the religious life of God's people, always an outcast. That was guaranteed because of his body. And yet here is God sending Philip to this man, offering him the same good news that was offered to the Jews. And this is why it is here in Acts. This is part of the story of Acts. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that the gospel will go. Jesus commissions his disciples to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the Ethiopian's kind of tricky. Where do we put him? Is he the ends of the earth? Well, kind of, but because he is from a different part of the world. But here he's also a Jewish man. And the thing that's being emphasized here, or at least he's a guy who adheres to the Jewish religion. The point that's being made here is that this guy is an outcast, that he sits on the fringes. And what God is doing is he's taking the gospel to the outcast. He's taking the gospel to the guy who is kind of just pushed to the side, who isn't really a part of God's people, not in the fullest sense. And the point is that the good news of Jesus is for everyone. That's the point of Acts as it continues to go on through the book, as the gospel keeps going forward into the world. But here we see there is nothing which can stand in the way of him having full status as one of God's people. And friends, the same is true for each one of us. The gospel is good news for everyone. Doesn't matter your gender, your race, your social status, your economic status. Everyone is invited to put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, just as those who have been baptized this evening have done. Isn't it interesting? We've got young and older. I won't say old, Tony, but young and old. We've got male and female, different stages of life, different financial situations, different backgrounds, and the same gospel, the same gospel, exactly the same message has saved every single one of them. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3. And so, friends, if you're not a Christian, I wonder if you look at us, weird as we are. We are weird. And think, you know, I don't think I'd belong here. And I want to say, yes, we're strange. And yes, we don't always get things right. But nothing could be farther from the truth. You absolutely belong here. Because the truth is that every person, the gospel truth is that every person is invited, equally invited, to trust in Jesus, become part of his church. Jesus is for you. Not just for a particular social class, not just for the educated, or not just for the people who need a crutch or whatever the world might say. The gospel is for everyone. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for you. And so I want to ask you tonight, what is standing in the way of you being made right with God? Is it what you don't know about Jesus? Is it actually just ignorance, either intentional ignorance or ignorance that you weren't aware of until tonight, that you just don't know who Jesus is and what he's on about? Well, I want to say God wants to open your eyes. Do you think that what you've done, your sin, is standing between you and God? Then know that God has sent Jesus to die for your sins. He wants to forgive you and bring you in and make you one of his people, give you the gift of eternal life. Or is it something about what you're like? I'm just too different. I don't think I'd fit in. I don't think it's really my kind of thing, being a Christian. I want to say to you, God is offering forgiveness of sins and life forever with him to you. You've heard all those testimonies tonight. I wonder what the testimony of the Ethiopian eunuch would be. It's God's kindness that we don't know what it's like for him when he gets home, because we get to imagine. Okay, but this guy on the road home comes to realize who Jesus is. His eyes are opened. His heart is filled with joy. His sins are washed away. The physical imperfections in his body, which have stopped him from being part of the people of God in the fullest sense, are no longer a matter, no longer an issue for him. What joy. He goes on his way rejoicing, it says. And he gets home, I imagine, and he tells his friends, or he stands up in whatever the church was called where he was, and he says, I didn't understand. but God opened my eyes to see Jesus. I am a sinner, but God sent Jesus to die for me. My sin is dealt with forever. I was once an outcast, but God has made me one of his people forever, ever. Nothing stands in between me and God any longer. So what should stop me from being baptized? What should stop me from publicly declaring that I know God, that he knows me, that I trust the death of Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin, that I am his much loved child? What could prevent me from declaring that? Nothing. There's nothing in the way. And so what about you? That's his testimony, and you've heard the testimonies tonight, and I'm sure there are many testimonies like that here as well. But what about you? Could I be so bold as to urge you tonight, to implore you to put your trust in Jesus, to receive the good news of Jesus, that nothing need stand between you and God, not now or forever, that Jesus has opened up the way for you to have a relationship with God. You know, this story, I think the thing that runs all the way through it is that this is God's business. This is a divinely arranged encounter. And nothing is an accident. It is no accident that you are here tonight. It is a divinely arranged encounter that you are here to witness the baptism of one of your friends or family members, or that even for those who come along to this church often, that you are here tonight to see this. It is not an accident. God is ordering things and doing things his way. And so I ask again, would you trust in Jesus and come to see what it means to have a relationship with God? That eunuch walked away with great joy, and that joy can be yours. And if you've already trusted in Jesus, I just want to encourage you that nothing stands between you and God. You can rejoice. I do have a question for you if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian and you're not baptized, here's the information for you. What can stand in the way of you being baptized? Look, here is water. Here is water. What could stand in the way of my being baptized, said the eunuch. If you are a person who calls Jesus your Savior and Lord, what could stand in the way of you being baptized? You see, the eunuch understood that to trust in Jesus, to have the newfound joy of knowing God through Christ, and to not get baptized straight away, that was a paradox. So here it is. Here is water. And we can do this again whenever. What is there standing in the way of us being baptized? If you call yourself a Christian, I encourage you to think that through and to come and have a chat if you'd like to about that. Nothing stands between you and God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that nothing stands between us and you. We thank you for sending Jesus into this world to open eyes, we might see you for who you are, to understand what it is that you are on about in this world. We thank you that in Jesus there is forgiveness of sins. We thank you that in Jesus the good news of what you have done in this world is available to all of us, that nothing can stand between us and you any longer. And we give you thanks again tonight for the wonderful joy we can have as we celebrate the work you have done in the lives of Jesse and Tony and Sean and Bethany. We pray, our Father, that you would do that same work in many more lives. Open more eyes, we pray. Show people what Jesus has done for them, we pray. And bring people into your fold, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.